Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump right in. And then the first thing right off the bat is I'm going to need your help filling up this whiteboard with ideas, okay? So let's pray. God, we just want to ask for your help. There's a lot of things in this world that make us afraid, that fear kind of controls us sometimes. God, and there's a whole lot more that makes us worry. We worry about all kinds of things, worried about tests and grades in school and relationships and family stuff and money and stress and all kinds of crazy stuff that we can just worry about, our safety. And so, God, we want to be people of faith, but we also know that we are human, and you've built us biologically with fear responses that are good, that keep us alive. And at the same time, sometimes fear and anxiety can control us. So God, would you give us victory over fear and anxiety in our life? And would you help us to lean on you and to trust you? And would you help us to live a more full life in you? We pray in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, cool. If you look in your handout, first two questions, I want you to think about them in your head, or if you have a pen, you can write them down in your handout. But then I'm just going to ask you guys to shout out some answers. So what are some things that you were afraid of as a kid? And I'm just going to start writing them up on the board. All right, we have a great list of super-duper answers up there. I think that's pretty awesome. All right, let me just cruise through them real quick with you, okay? All right, we've got fear of the dark, fear of crowds, fear of clowns, fear of your brother or sister, fear of being lost, fear of being rolled up in a couch, fear of Voldemort, fear of death, tight spaces, bees, having the sex talk, fear of people giving away your stuff or stuff you care about, pirates, dogs, the basement, under the bed, storms, heights, birds, ocean, parents, failing, and being tickled. Spiders. Okay, we'll add that to the list. And then stuff you're currently worried about. Currently worried about your life, grades, not graduating, the future, failure, homework, humiliation, family, health, pets dying, sports, coaches, public speaking, stalkers and murder, presidency, college, money, debt, providing for people, a job, that there's not enough food, specifically candy, and then friendships and relationships. All right, quick question. Is there a shortage of things to freak out about? There's not a shortage. Any given hour, you could probably decide to worry or freak out or be afraid about something, right? Yeah. So a few things growing up that I was afraid of. I was afraid of riding big roller coasters. I wanted to do it. First roller coaster my family ever took me on was the Blue Streak at Cedar Point. Funny story, right? Back then, they didn't have the strappy seatbelt thing or the shoulder thing. It was just a bar, okay? I sat next to my mom, but I was small at the time, and the bar hit down on her legs, but there was a gap between where the bar and my legs started. Okay? So, first hill, I float out of my seat, like up to the bar, and my eyes like jump out of my head, freaked out, right? Freaked out. Ever been afraid of telling the truth because you might get in trouble? Of being alone or lost in a store? We talked about that, right? Of messing up or failure? Some of us mentioned that already. Afraid of asking a girl out. I was afraid of being rejected, right? And then after you're going out, afraid of breaking up with a girlfriend because you don't want to lose her, but you realize the relationship's probably not a good one. And then I had this crazy experience in college. Have you guys ever done like a high ropes course? High ropes course? Yeah. So we're doing this high ropes course. This one's called the pamper pole. It's like a trapeze. You have to climb up this like telephone pole thing, and you've got a harness on and a cable and whatnot. And then you have to actually stand like and about the size of this square, on the top of the foam pole. I mean, like, it's super, super wobbly, right? And you've got to jump to a flying trapeze thing out where, like, Kai is, right? So you've got to, like, you, like, figure out your balance, and you're trying to do this, and then just, like, go for it, right? And it was, like, a team-building thing. Super freaky, right? I was nervous about that. Some deeper stuff, though. Heavier stuff, right? I remember going as a kid, I don't remember how old I was, maybe 6, 7, 8, to my first funeral. And I was freaked out because it was like the open casket thing and like the body is there. Now, I didn't know the person. It was like a friend of my dad's wife, okay? And I remember like I was super freaked out about like going up to like see the body, like scary, freaky, right? I don't know if you guys have ever been to a funeral like that. True story about this. My buddies and I decided we were going to go help one of our friends who had gotten into some trouble, and he made some people mad. And so he went to the movies, and he was told that after the movies, he was going to get beat up, right? So me and my buddies, we're in high school, we, you know, big football player guys. We got like 6 football player guys, right? We're like, all right, sweet, we'll go be this guy's protection, right? We'll be like his little bodyguard service. So we go to the theater, we wait out in the van. A couple of us go into the theater, kind of escort him out to the car. We go in the theater, movie ends, he freaks out and starts running out of the theater. We like run with him to the van. We get to the van, some guy pulls up in a car, jumps out, opens the trunk, pulls out a rifle with the black scope on it and aims it at the windshield of our van. We like freaked out. Like we're thinking like, what did he do now? Like we, what the heck? This is like intense. My buddy like throws the van in reverse. We like cruise out of the mall parking lot to go like find some police officers or something. And they follow us, right? So they follow us all the way to like Summit Mall. We find some security and we roll down the window. And we tell the police that these guys behind, because they actually followed us to the cop. So crazy. They see the cop car and then they take off. And they went out and they got busted. We had to go down to the station and like fill out reports. But never expected in high school that my buddies and I would have a gun pointed at us. Freaky. Freaky, right? How about moving? When I was about 8 years old, my family moved to Sweden for a year. International trip. Woo! My dad was asked to come do research with some of their scientists, which was kind of a privilege, kind of a cool thing. But I had to leave my friends and my pets and the things that I cared about, the things that I knew, and the food that I liked to do a new language with a new money system, with a new culture, being young, going to a new school where they didn't speak English. Like, it was really, really a lot to be afraid about, a lot to be scared about, a lot to be worried about. So I don't know if you guys ever moved and had a hard time adjusting. Maybe it was to a new school or a new neighborhood. Yeah. Sure. All right, I think we've got plenty of examples. So let's take a look at what exactly fear is all about, okay? So, we got a movie clip. So let's take a look at a movie clip from Inside Out. This is Riley, first day at a new school. All right, is that true? Anybody afraid of being picked on by the teacher or having to speak out in class, let alone crying at school? That would be like, no! It would be so embarrassing, right? You don't want that to happen. So Riley is understandably afraid of a few things and in a new environment, right? So let me ask you this. On your paper, there are different kinds of fear, right? I believe there is some healthy fear and some unhealthy fear. So the first one, what would be some healthy fears that people might have? And I would put those under the category of things like safety, your well-being, or maybe a healthy fear of authority, okay? So what would be some examples of a healthy fear somebody might have? Being scared of jumping off a cliff because you could die. So that's good, right? And it could be anything like that. So being afraid to go out and play in the middle of the street, right? That's a good fear for a child to have, right? Why? So they don't die, right? Okay, yes, hit by a car. So what would be some other healthy fears? Afraid of strangers, thank you. Afraid of strangers, yes. Talking to strangers. Being with strangers. Stranger danger, yes. Any other examples? Healthy fear of the police, okay? Authority, right? That you obey the traffic laws or you don't go off and steal things from the store because you could get busted, right? What else? Healthy fear of fire. Don't lick it. Don't put your hand in it, okay? It could burn you. Okay, healthy fear of your parents probably keeps you from breaking a lot of laws and rules and keeping you out of trouble. Sure. Disease? Right. Don't play with poop, okay? You could get sick or have a disease. I'm just giving you an example, okay? Fear of sickness, that's not where you're going, was it? That's where I went. Too bad. Don't play with germy stuff. Expired food, okay? Rotten flesh, don't eat it. Okay. What else? Healthy fear of sickness? Don't want to be sick. All right, you give me some examples. All right, so let's switch it. Unhealthy fear. Fear that keeps you from living life to its fullest. What would be an unhealthy fear? Okay, so if you're always afraid of failing, maybe you never try, and it keeps you from experiences that may be really good for you, okay? What would be an unhealthy fear? So you're so afraid of the future that you stop engaging in life. You stop trying. You stop, yeah, because you're not sure what's going to happen. What if you're just so afraid of people you never make friendships? Is that yours? Are you going to say that? Okay, what, do you got one? Okay, you're so afraid of what people think about you that it affects your behavior. And maybe there's good things you should be doing and you don't do them because you're afraid of what other people are going to think, okay? Anybody else? Okay, so if you have a social fear that maybe is not healthy, it might keep you from coming to church. It might keep you from going to a concert, maybe a big group thing. Maybe it keeps you from going to school, or maybe it affects your grades. Okay, so you're so consumed by your performance and taking a test that you freak out and you aren't able to maybe pass classes. You know what? There are some people who just aren't good test takers, but they're really smart and can learn a lot. But that fear might keep you back. I think you can even have an unhealthy fear of God. I think there is a healthy fear of God where you have a healthy respect and understanding for God's authority and power over you. But there could also be an unhealthy afraid of God that he's just going to like pinch your life out of existence as soon as you screw up, okay? Like, are you with me? It could be out of balance. Okay, so maybe you have an immobilizing fear that if you disappoint people, and so maybe that keeps you from connecting with people, from trying, from doing new things. Sure. All right, you guys hit it pretty good. So I want to take a look. All right, fear, I think, has some mental factors and some biological factors, okay? So mental factors, how many of you ever done these mind games in your head where you, in your head, you play the what-if game? And you're worried about something that's going to happen tomorrow, and you run all these scenarios through your head. What if this happens? Or what if this happens? Or what if this doesn't happen? Or what if? And it can immobilize you and mess you up, right? And you can end up having to do this. Your mind is taken over by the fear, okay? It runs away with it. All the what-if scenarios, and it can send you into like a panic freakout, okay? Or it can make you just completely shut down and like pull away from everything, right? People can get depressed when fear ends up being so heavy, right? But there's, I think when, in those regards, I think we need to take some mental discipline to kind of take some control back over our mind. But on the next one, I think we've got a built-in threat response. Wouldn't you agree that your body, if somebody pointed a weapon at you or a raging lion with giant teeth came after you, that you would have a fight or flight or freeze response, okay? Yes, you may or may not have any control over it. Your body might just go like a deer or a possum in the headlights of a car, okay? Right? Have you guys seen those videos of the goats that have like something wrong with them inside, and when like they're afraid, they just play dead like a possum? Yeah, so maybe that's you. Maybe you freeze. Or maybe you're like, oh, and you're ready to fight. Or maybe you're like, oh, I'm running out of here because this lion's chasing me, right? Or maybe it's something else, but your body chemically has a reaction. You got adrenaline that goes through your blood and makes you like, woo, and then you want to get to safety, right? That's a good response. Now, we don't have control necessarily over that part of us, but I do think we have control over some of the mental factors, right? Again, some of the fear is natural and good, and some of it is unhealthy. All right, here's the next part. What's the difference between fear and anxiety? So anxiety would be when we worry and fret and freak out, okay? Often it's about potential negative outcomes, right? So you think of all the bad stuff that could happen. Anybody ever do that? Think of all the bad stuff that could happen. And so maybe it keeps you from engaging in some things. And it's also, worry is linked to fear. The fear gets so big, then we start worrying and freaking out, and it can keep us from a healthy life, really. All right, so would you agree that there are some mental and biological factors when it comes to anxiety? I think mentally, oftentimes we play the same games, okay? We can work ourselves up. Biologically, did you know some people's nervous system is just different or out of balance or has a shift in it? Their adrenaline kicks in or their hormones affect them in a way that they are more prone to anxiety or they've got some kind of chemical imbalance. And that, you know what? That happens to people. And I don't think you have to be afraid of having anxiety. I don't think you have to feel embarrassed by that. And I think sometimes we do. As you know, my wife Tina has got some serious anxiety issues, but you know what? It's actually linked to her heart. She's got a heart condition, and what happens with that is it affects her nervous system, and it makes her body overreact to like regular stuff. And so, like for a while, like she was having a hard time just with life, and had to quit her job here, and wasn't able to drive, and kind of immobilizing whatever. And we kind of figured out what was going on, and we were able to get some healthy treatment and things going on. And she's seriously one of my shining favorite examples of a woman of courage. That she has faced her anxiety, she's faced her fears, and she's had victory over a lot of that stuff in her life. She took a new job, she drives all the time, she's doing awesome stuff at home, she's caring for our family, and she has overcome a lot of that in her life. And a big chunk of it wasn't even like her. It was her body's reaction to how life was happening and what was going on with her chemically. So I want you to know this. I know some of you in the room wrestle with anxiety, and that's a big deal for you. Some of you are on meds for it. Some of you just, you have panic attacks and you freak out or whatever. You know what? I love you, and that's okay. And you can have victory over it. And I share that example about my wife, Tina, because I believe she's had a lot of victory over that in her life. So hear me today. I don't think Jesus solves the entire thing. Is that bad to say as a pastor of a church? Sorry. I think there's a big spiritual aspect to worry and fear and anxiety. But I don't think God just solves it all. I think God can help a lot of us, especially with that mentally renewing our mind and taking captive our thoughts, that kind of stuff. But some of you need some different kind of help, you know, and I think it's okay to do both. I think God's totally important in the process and can help with all that, but I don't think Jesus answers fear and anxiety issues for everybody across the board. I think sometimes we need extra help, maybe even some counseling too. So anyway, I thought it'd be good if we watched another clip. This one's a little bit longer. Did you know fear actually serves a good purpose sometimes? And in this clip, you're going to get to watch dream production in Riley's brain. You guys wanted to keep watching, didn't you? Any have a bad dream? Yeah, no kidding, right? Fear's a big deal, though, right? How can we overcome it? How can we have some victory over it? I want you to take a look at the next section at the bottom of your handout, which is freedom from fear. I think it takes four major things to break free and beat fear. I think it takes courage. Everybody say courage. Take some courage to face it. Everybody say faith. It takes some faith to trust God with your fear, to trust God with it. Everybody say friendship. It's going to take some people in your life to help you sometimes to overcome fear. Friendship to follow through with it, right? And then the last one, I really believe this is a big one. Everybody say truth. Truth to combat it. Do you need God's truth? You need real truth to know that sometimes you make up scenarios that aren't true, that are fake in your head, and you don't know the outcome, so you don't try. But the truth is, you don't know what it's going to be like, so you need to, you know, maybe push through and give it a go. So everybody say this, courage to face it, faith to trust God with it, friendship to follow through with it, and truth to combat it. So I wanted to invite one of your friends up to share a little bit about fear and anxiety in her life. So everybody, welcome Kyla to the stage.
All right. Hey, guys. So I want to talk a little bit about just fear and anxiety in general and, like, the different, like, effects it has on me. I don't know if everyone else probably feels this a little bit, too, especially as you start to get higher up in high school. I feel a lot more, like, stress and added pressure from it or nervous for, like, tests or exams. And just like as you start to get older and have to make more bigger decisions, I definitely feel fear with like what's happening in my future and the different choices I'm going to have to make. So just like to overcome it, it's not going to be easy. Like you can't just think, oh, just because like God's going to fix it all for me, which obviously he'll help walk with you through it. But it's not an easy fix. And I think it's a constant battle that you have to kind of like go through daily. But looking back, I can definitely see places where God played a part in helping me overcome my fear and anxiety. An example is actually this week. So, like, I'm, like, a new driver and stuff, and I'm not the best. So whenever I have to, like, drive somewhere new, I usually end up lost. So I had to Friday drive to one of my classes. I'm at the ILC for, like, some college classes I'm doing. And so I was, like, driving there by myself for, like, the first time. So my parents, like, told me how to get there, but I was, like, super nervous. I made it there safely and everything. I walked in, like, right when class was starting. So I'm, like, shaking because I was kind of like, oh, I'm, like, late, but it was okay. And then I was thinking, like, all class period, like, I don't know how to get back to school from here because I have to drive from there to Bradley. So, like, all class period, I'm, like, shaking. Like, oh, I hope we get let out early. Like, I'm going to get lost. That morning I had actually mentioned to my parents, like, hey, if someone needs a ride, can I take them? But I didn't actually think, like, anyone would, and I thought I'd probably just get lost. But I was really pumped, and I think God really provided, because after class, one of my friends, he was like, oh, like, my car's in the shop. I'm actually riding the bus back. And I was like, oh, well, like, I can take you. So I thought that was, like, almost, like, kind of cool, because God kind of, like, helped me, like, put him there just, like, to relieve my nerves. And we, like, were early when we got back to school, too, which was pretty sweet. I didn't get lost. I didn't hit anyone. And I stayed on the road. So... I don't know. I think maybe that's probably not everyone's fear. I even got lost yesterday, too. But I don't know. I think it's just, like, different, like, overcoming it. And, like, obviously, like, there's always going to be, like he said, like, friends can help you overcome it or family. Like, I called my parents last night when I was lost, and I found my way. I get lost a lot, but I think just, like, different things in my life. And I think it's really helpful for me. I try to wake up early every morning to read my Bible just to prepare for my day, talk to God. I fill out just, like, a page in my journal just talking to God, because God will help you through the fear and anxiety, but you also have to keep pushing and keep working for that. So.
What Kyla shared was great. You guys, fear and anxiety are probably going to plague us for the rest of our lives. But here's the thing. They're feelings, they're emotions, but they don't have to control you, all right? I think there can be some fear and some anxiety that can be so overpowering that it ruins your life, it messes you up, and it controls your behavior. And I think God can give us victory in our life in these areas. Not that they're go away. I think some of those emotions are good, but letting them control you is not. So if you want to know, I think there can be some freedom from anxiety. And we're going to take a look at Philippians 4 real quick, and then we're going to jump to life groups. But these five things I took straight out of Philippians in your handout. The first one is, if you want to have freedom over anxiety, it starts with rejoicing, celebrating the good. Because a lot of times we get anxious about stuff or worry about stuff, it's because we're focusing on the negative stuff. So if you can celebrate some things that happen that are good, some things about God. Second, the Bible says to pray. Instead of worrying and freaking out, ask God for help. You know, whether you're lost, ask him for help for directions, and maybe you'll send people like she did. She sent a friend, or he sent a friend for you to, you know, give you some confidence to get back to school. So rejoice, pray. And the third one is to thank God, express your gratitude for the things he's already done. And then God promises his peace, that his peace will guard your heart and mind. And I think the last one is probably the hardest one, and a lot of the people just forget to even do it. It's renewing your mind. It's thinking positive, and this last verse at the bottom, 2 Corinthians, taking your thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ. Check this out. So if we take it straight from Philippians 4. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And then don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts, check this out, on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You guys, it's hard to despair and freak out and worry if you're rejoicing and if you're thinking of the positive things. Like, hey, picture the thing actually going well. Picture your parents actually not being mad. Picture you actually passing the test. Picture you actually catching the ball and scoring points. Like, whatever. Like, have a positive mental attitude about the thing instead. Like, try to grab those thoughts and then, you know, obviously asking God for some help. It is a possible tool that I'm giving to you in Philippians 4. It's not a end-all for anxiety, but some of you would really benefit by bringing that stuff to God and by renewing your mind and your thoughts about that stuff. Would you guys pray with me? And I want to leave you with this just last thought, that there's hope. That there's hope in God and that he's gonna provide for us. God, we just want to ask for your help. God, fear and anxiety are hard emotions sometimes to feel, and sometimes they're overwhelming to feel. And sometimes they're really good, and they help us and protect us. But God, for those of us in the room who have some unhealthy fear and worry in their life, God, would you help us to trust you with it, to give that up to you, to lean on some friends, to put some good truth in our minds from the Bible, and to remember that you love us and care about us. You've provided for the birds. You've provided for the grass. You provided food for them and shelter and clothing for them, like Matthew says. And you promise that if we seek you first, that you will provide and meet our needs as well. So God, would you watch over us and help us to remember that if God is for us, that who can be against us, Romans says. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, that you love us so much and want to help us through life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.